There's a little summary on page Pei Beis that we left for tonight. It's not just a summary. I would say it's not really a summary either. It's an added note, an addendum to what we were learning. On page Pei Beis, the Sikumam Shel Dvarim. Chayev Adam Levar La'atzma Yisa'emes. Chayev Adam Levar La'atzma Yisa'emes. A person has to clarify the truth, to know what's the toiv, what's the tachlis of his being in the world. Lachachas is kol ma sheyesh lo b'bayis. And the truth is, he says a very strong thing here. Lachachas is kol ma sheyesh lo b'bayis. V'lirayis hu nitzrach lo b'emes. To take everything in the house and to think, do I really need this? V'ma she'en nitzrach yesh lam ha, and what is not needed, Yeshnam harbin this kokim, there are many people perhaps who could use it, she'ev shalachalik lahem, that would enjoy this. Father she'eshlus chashev b'nei beis, she'eshlus chashev, obviously, you have to take in consideration the members of your household. It would be terrible to give something away and to watch your little one holding on to it and being dragged out of the house with the truck that you decide to give to your neighbor's kid. V'akol tzorech lehosuz b'shikol adaz. Everything has to be done with Shikol Hadas, obviously with a clear head. And that's not the point. The point, Schwartz is not talking here about disowning our possessions, you know, throwing everything away and moving out, starting a simpler life, although there's much to be said for that. But he's not suggesting that. That's not a way, that's not the point here of the Avoda. The point is to loosen our hold on that reality which is blocking and obstructing our awareness of the tachlis of life. That we have so many things in life that we've come to regard as toiv, as the toiv, as something which I must have or I need, that it's making it harder and harder to remember what really is the toiv. Well, if in Klali, of those things that are completely unnecessary and take away a person's yishavadas, it's best to get rid of. But it's not just giving something away. It's lasses b'simcha, to detach yourself b'simcha. B'simcha. And he explains, Hagaron of Amaliel Dessler, Zatzal, Haya Oime, Shehine Eli Yeshem Babate Sayer, those who are sitting in jail, Haim is not Kim Minyoneh Lamazer, people who are stuck in a prison cell, they would seem to be very holy people, not for what they've done, but their present state of existence is very, very pleasant. Maybe a bed, a sink, whatever, a bathroom, not even a bathroom, just to go over there, that's it. So they're living in a way of precious. So Rav Dessler said, these people appear to be completely detached from Minyani Adam Hazeh. They're not attached to things of this world. Mamish Prushim, they're like, wow, tzaddik, the way they're living over there. Ketzed Yitachein Eifei, Shabbatei Hasar, Enam Malochim, So you would think that when there are Jews in jail, you would expect by over the course of the sentence that they would already become big Bali Ruach HaKadosh. They'd be already big Oivdei Hashem and big Tzadikim. When the opposite is usually the case, that they came in, they weren't big Tzadikim, and they leave, they either remain not big Tzadikim or even smaller Tzadikim when they went in. But to become Bali Ruach HaKadosh, you would say, wow. Here you have a perfect situation where all of the things of the world where people normally are so obsessed with, here the whole life is just in jail is a life pashtus and it's mechayev, everything simple. So you would think that as a result of that, these would be people who would be bala madrega. So Rav Dessler asked, why not? Why is that? Why isn't that the case? Why is it not the case? It's oftentimes just the opposite. I mean, usually it's the opposite. I remember years ago I heard someone gave me a tape from Shlomo Kalibach. Not ones that sold in the stores, just that somebody had a tape. That he was once in a prison someplace. And he went, there were some Jews in the prison, unfortunately, and he went, but all the prisoners came. They let them all come. The whole chaver came. And I'm sure only he knew how to deal with these situations. I don't know. And they had there's a maimed, you know, of a huge olam of this chaver. And who knows what was there. And probably in the middle of there were a few yidden that were ganavim, you understand? But everybody else was all pachan. And on the tape, he began, he says, "Ay, my beloved, you know, my dear, sweet, beloved friends, it's so sad that you're in jail like this, but the truth is you probably belong here." That's what he said. And I was like, you know, that's how he started it. He said, "Look, I guess you're here because this is a good place for you. You belong in this place." That's how he began. So you'd think that they would all become big tzaddikim, such a place of precious and godless. It's like living in Midbar Sinai, you know, in a cave in Midbar Sinai. You could have there, nobody has problems there with his bitterness. You could reach the big madrigas. So if Desley asks, why not? How come that's not happening in jail? Ella kach omar ha Desley zatzal. Ha precious leishpia leim me'uma. The fact that they were detached from the world had no positive influence on them. Why? Because they were forced to give up this world. They're not happy about it. All they do all day long is dream about the world. They're not happy about it. Sometimes it's better to have something and not dream about it than to give it up and dream about it. You could be more attached to something by not having it than by having it. There is such a thing with a person. There's such a thing that you take something away from a person, he doesn't really want it, and he's more connected to it in its absence than when he had it. When he had it, he wasn't paying attention to it. It wasn't a big deal. But if you take it away from him, so that's how it is in jail. Precious, in other words, disengaging from things of this world to become less obsessed with the world so you'd be able to know what true good is, means that it's a choice that a person makes to have a simpler life, to have a quieter life, to become less connected to things. It's by choice. It's besimcha. Because if it's not that, then it does not accomplish. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try even in certain areas of life. Of course you try to let go. But the people that are in jail are not becoming bigger tzaddikim because they're not part of the world. This detachment, or less having less of a connection to the world, that has to be mitaych simcha. Has to be mitaych simcha, the joy. Mitaych hakara shechaval lechalisis esman al havalim. It has to come with a recognition, with a deep recognition. Ach, it's so chaval, it's such a waste to spend your time on Havalim, on Nairishkei, and to be happy about that. Now, I was at a chasna, I couldn't even stay for the chuppah because I had to give a different shiur before this one. There was a chasna in the white shul. Somebody from that were friends together in the summer for many years, very, very wonderful people. And they made a decision, the tum chutanim, and they made a poshita chasna, poshit. They made the kabbalah panim to the chuppah, half hour. Right afterwards, everybody could take from a buffet their meal, sit down and eat. And they'll do a rikud and go home. So I was very inspired from this. That the people that they're taking advantage of the time they were in, meaning that there's the people are having financial difficulties and they're saying, what am I going to go now? There are people that are losing their jobs left and right. People that have to leave their homes and give up so many things. So now we're going to make a whole big chasna. And they made such an inyan. And someone was telling me at the chasna that they got calls from a few Tamil Chum and Rosh Hashiva saying, Yashakayach, you know, a big Yashakayach to you, maybe, you know, you can start something. There are two schools that I know of personally in the neighborhood that this year they're making their dinners in the school. They're making, not in a hall. They're making it in a school. in the school. And one of them already told me that the people are coming forth already forward with more money than in the past, and they're saying Yashakayach. We appreciate that. We don't want to throw the money away on the catering, on our dirbs. We want the money to go to the yeshiva. If to spend money, we're not going to give you less money, we're going to give you the same and more. If it could start a mahapecha, to begin like this, a mahapecha, a revolution, to start to let go of things, but not, oh, it's chaval, because the economy is bad, and as soon as things are back on track, we're going to get back to the $500,000 bas mitzvah or something. No, that's not precious. That's not what it means. It means mitocha hakar. It means understanding, with an understanding that it's chaval. What's chaval? The time is chaval. You know, you sit until, I'm not saying that our family hasn't been guilty of perpetrating this on others as well, because you're stuck in these things with the way the weddings are, you know, the way it works with chasnas. But that people who work all day long, you look at these men, they come straight from the train, and nowadays a lot of the women too, they're working all day, and if they're not working at some job, they're handling with the kids all day long, and then they come to chasna, and they're sitting there like from 8:30 till 10 o'clock waiting for chasman kalma. 8:30, 10 o'clock, many of the men didn't even have a chance to eat yet. They ran into the chuppah for an hour and a half, and vatel and gone, there's nothing. Nothing, stunned, sitting there, drinking a cup, nothing. It's such an avla that's being carried out in this generation. People are tired. And then it's the money that's thrown out. Someone told me they were a different chasna, just this, I was talking to a friend, that he was another chasna last night, where there were over 1,000 people in a very, very big, fancy place, and the chasna kal didn't come out till after 10:30. And he said that by the time, because he was a shtickle mishpach, and he said by the time they came out with the food, he said that 3/4 of the oilam was gone. The tables, I'm not talking about the people that only said they're coming for the chuppah. There's no taina. They said they're coming for the chuppah. They left. The people said they're coming for the meal. And in a place like that, I don't know what it costs nowadays, a couple. It costs probably over $100 or something. I don't know how much they charge. So all of those hundreds and hundreds of empty seats. And in the kitchen, they have all this food. Garbage. It's not going to yeshivas or poor people. In the garbage. That's what's going in the garbage. Money and time. Kaychas and nefesh, and people are tired. One thing after the other. To give these things up, it has to be mitach simcha. Not oy. Mitach simcha. And not just when it comes to making big lavish affairs and so on, but even the things in our homes, in our lives, with our shopping and what we do, to try as much as possible. No one's talking here about, he's not talking here about moving away into the hills, but more of appreciation that a person should be able to think, what's the tachas of my life? Instead of spending his life, l'chal zezman al havolim, al oilim shenakayim, on a world that doesn't last. A world that doesn't mean anything, doesn't last. Doesn't last. It just doesn't last. I saw a mice. There was I think it was an Aslanim Sefer. There was a tzaddik, not a rabbi, but there was like a chassid. There was a big tzaddik. He was very, very famous as a person of big shiflus aruch, like a very humble person. And some young chassid went to this tzaddik and asked him. And he asked this old chassid, the very humble chassid. He asked him, how does one achieve such humility? How does one achieve? In other words, he said, Rabbi, how could I reach a level of humility? How could I become truly humble? So you know what the Yid told him? He said, as the bistaka gonish. How do I translate that? What do you mean, how do you reach humility? You're taka nothing. How do I reach humility? He says, what? The bistaka gonish. You're nothing. Akasha, the Mistaka Gornish, what are you? How do I, in other words, like, what's my avoider for the month to reach a Madrega of humility? He's the Mistaka, the Mistaka Gornish. It's such a powerful word. I was thinking about it afterwards. The Mistaka Gornish. How do I reach a Madrega of humility? Who are you that you have to reach a Madrega of humility? The Mistaka Gornish. The Mistaka Gornish. Could you imagine an earthworm would look up to you and say, what could I do to humble myself? You'd say, what do you mean? You're doing fine. You are gestaka garnish. Gestaka garnish. That doesn't mean, God forbid, what you think that Tzaddik was saying, that a yid is a nobody? Chas v'shalom. That's not what it means, humility. It means to have your head on straight. It means this world is taka garnish. It's taka garnish. What you think is taka garnish. What you have to let go of is taka garnish. What is it? It's taka garnish. How do I let go of this thing that I'm so crazy that I, you know, with this, to buy this, to get that? It's taka garnish. What is it? It's taka garnish. Yaza kajbao hushiizka kalachad rechel virus atayvan hara. Each and every one of us should be zeichet to make this distinction, to know, to separate between what's taka real and what's taka garnish. Lahafish is a chaimim and haruach, to separate the physical from the spiritual. Ukshinafid is a chaimim and haruach. And when we make this separation between what's the tachlis, what's real taiv, what's the purpose, what is it that I'm here for, and that which is not, then nizka karkan, v'olam hazeh, then even here, in this world, in olam hazeh, l'b'chinas v'aruach toshu v'lalokim ashen nesana, that the ruach returns to Hashem, to the one who gave it. Hashem is the one who gave us aruach, meaning that a person can become deeply, deeply attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without leaving the world, without dying. While you're alive, after this whole parak which spoke about letting go and about thinking about death and making that separation between what's the purpose of my life and what's not, the tachlis is not, God forbid, that a person should die. The tachlis is, while you're alive, that your spirit should return to God. Everybody's spirit returns to Hashem after they die. That's not a big chachma. But the chachma is, while you're alive, that you should let go of things and that your spirit should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis. And that leads into the next parak. She'ifas. Yearnings to become greater. Yearning, she'ifas. What is a she'ifa? What does it really mean? Where do they come from? And how does a person become a Baal she'ifas? Pei Gimel. Maran HaMashgiach. Reb Cheskel Levenstein. Zatzal. Omar Pam Ba'achas Asichas B'Yeshiva. He said once in the yeshiva of Chaskel. Reb Chaskel, of course, in Europe was in the Mir Yeshiva, and then after the Gesund. And Reb Chaskel came to Eretz Yisrael, he was the Mashgiach in Panevich Yeshiva. I'm sure that you've heard of Reb Chaskel. He was Sadiq Yisrael Oilam. It's very kedai to read the biography of Reb Chaskel that they put out a few years ago, the English art school. Very, very, very kedai. You get a picture of a person. His whole metzias was such an inspiration. So Maran HaMashgiach, Reb Chaskel Levenstein, said, so Amar Pam Ba'achas HaSichas B'Yeshiva. So Reb Chaskel said once in the yeshiva, Sha'ashi'ifa ha'amitish, Sha'kol Baruch Yeshiva, that the true she'ifa, the true longing, I guess the best would be aspiration, that's probably a better word, to aspire. That Ashi'ifa ha'amitis, the true aspiration, Shakol Bochi Yeshiva, of every Yeshiva Bochi, Shakol Ben Aliyah, or any Jew that's aspiring for more, Tzvich Aliyah's Lot says Adam Gadol. Tzvich Aliyah's Lot says Adam Gadol. Must be to become an Adam Gadol. To become an Adam Gadol, a great person. Boy, girl, obviously he was telling the guys in yeshiva, so he said he was talking to the fellows in the bachrum. But every person should aspire to become not mediocre, not above average, an Adam Gadol, a great person. Ella Shebedar Klal Bachur Rochik Mi Yeshiva Zu. But Reb Chaskel said, usually a yeshiva bachur is far. Not just yeshiva, but most people are far from such an aspiration. At best, you know, we want to be average, acceptable. I'm not talking about business or other things where people do aspire for great success. But when it comes to godless, the greatness as a Jew, as a person, and so on, b'derech klal bocha roch mi she'ifa zu. Usually it's far, far from such a she'ifa. The Lama.
Why?
Adam mitivai chayshev kach. The reason is, the reason that we don't have aspirations and yearnings for greatness is because by nature a person thinks the following. We all know the answer. This is what a person thinks. In every generation, there's only a certain amount of gedolim that could grow in that generation, that could become in that generation. But it's absolutely certain that I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. There's a certain amount of great people in a generation, and especially since Chazal tells that Hashem's Baruch before he told Adam Rishon, he showed Moshe Rabbeinu who are going to be the great people of the generations. He showed them a preview of who are going to be the great generations, the great leaders and tzaddikim and so on. So the person figures that the quota must be, it couldn't be like with me, it must be used up on other people, and I'm not on that list. Chvadei shani and neni echad mehem. Can't be that I'm one of them. One of the sweetest things that I ever saw was that, you heard of the great Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Gifter, right? Rav Mordechai Gifter from Telz. Rav Gifter was American. He was American, born and bred. My brother-in-law went to Telz, and he remembers that Rav Gifter had relatives that would come visit him, and they were totally not religious, and they would come out of the car, and they'd screaming, Max, Max! And the guys were going crazy, all these Yeshiva Baruchim were going crazy. Rav Mordechai Gifter was an American-bred giant, an Adam Gadol. And I saw that when he was, he went to Europe to learn, he was here, he went to Europe. He was actually, in the beginning, he was in Yeshiva University, and then he went to Europe. And I saw that he had pictures, as Yeshiva Bacham often, he had pictures of Gedolim on his wall. And there was one empty space on the wall, like a thing, but there was no picture. It's like, I don't know, it was a frame or something, but it was... Somebody asked him, what's going on over there? So he said, that's for me. That's what I want to be one day. I want to be me. He wasn't saying he wants to be, to have his picture in the Yateda Hamodiya or something like that, or on Gedolim cards. But that wasn't what interested Rav Gifter. What interested him was to be such a person. So he says, I have that blank space to remember that's my she'ifa, to be a great person. People don't think like that. They're thinking, I'll be lucky if I don't get my picture in the post office. Not to have my picture by the Gedolim. Most people don't think like that. Yeshnam anashim shenoldu bebatim yuchadim. The way that Yeshiva Baruch or a regular person thinks is, look, there are people that were born in special homes. They come from special homes. And all the parents, tzaddikim, you read these stories that their father, the mother, the grandparents, they were such tzaddikim. You read about, in other words, all the gedolim come from gedolim factories, where everybody in their lives, they were all gedolim. And that's how this gadol came to be. Im kaychus miyuchadim, special kaychus, great, great, great kaychus. The kelim yuchadim, special kelim, meaning special, also special talents and kaychus, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, to become gedolim. V'davke heim ruvim latzis gedolim. And davke, those people were set on that course to become gedolim. Avla, me? No. Me? Meladatim tivim ke'elu ke'elu. I know myself, what my pekulach are, and the nature, my nature, my who I am, my personality, and my nature. Im over kezebekezeh, I know what I have in my past, what I did in the past, and who I come from, and where I come from. Babayas kezebekezeh, I don't delude myself, I know the home that I come from. The tzura kazu, the bocha comes to the conclusion, there is no gadol that began his path towards becoming a gadol that was like me, from either a plain home or maybe a dysfunctional home, from with intellectual kaiches that are nothing to speak of, spiritually, emotionally dull, dim, not strong, not lichtig. And the bacher assumes, this is the average boy in yeshiva, assumes that none of the gedolim whose pictures are on the wall, none of those people began the way that I find myself at the beginning of my journey. Kulam is chilu ba'ifen shayna. They all began with something different and special and so on. And even if you could say, okay, not I understand, not all of them had great parents, not all of them, their father was a big tzaddik, or not all of them, okay, meila, that's true. But for sure, the koyches nefesh, they were, that even as children, they were spiritually great, and they had tremendous koyches nefesh and seichel, intellect and spirit, and tremendous. This is why I've mentioned many times over the years that Rav Huttner was not in favor of telling the children a million stories when they were little, a million stories of the tzaddikim, because the impression that children get is that the tzaddikim were always tzaddikim. That's how they came to the world. So when you read that the Chavetz Chaim was a little boy which would shovel the snow, you know, for everybody in town, so the kids thinking, oh, shovel the snow for in town, I don't even shovel for my parents. So that's it. So he loses his cheshek. He says, I guess I'm not the Chavetz Chaim. We don't know what the Chavetz Chaim did in order to come to that. We're going to talk about it in a minute. So the Bacher thinks that even if the conditions of their lives, of the Gedolim, was not maybe not so different from mine, maybe the parents were plain people or something, or maybe they came from a simple town or whatever, but they had big cheshek and nefesh. And even if they tell the kid, you know, that this big Rosh Hashiva when he was a child wasn't particularly bright, wasn't known to be an outstanding student. He says, yeah, but it's like, you know, when they tell the story about how Einstein wasn't so smart. You know how everybody thinks, yeah, Einstein was so smart. So he might have had some problems in class because of being mistader with a teacher who couldn't understand him. But it's very funny to say that Einstein wasn't a smart kid. It's strange to say such a thing. So even if you tell this boy that, you know, that the Netziv had, you know, wasn't known to be particularly bright as a child, so, you know, Yankel, there's hope for you too. You're also not so bright, so there's hope for you. So this is okay, maybe intellectually, but then don't forget the Netziv must have had unbelievable koyches hanefesh, and because of that, he cried his heart out in Nidavin, and then you talk to tell him the story. Yeah, that's true, the Netziv cried his heart out in Nidavin. He says, okay, I can't do that either. In other words, not only do I not have much of an intellect, I don't have much of a brain, I'm not going to be able to daven like the Netziv either. So if the Netziv got his mind that Hashem gave him a gift, because he cried and he cried and he cried, because he heard his parents say, what's going to be, what's going to be, what's going to be with Naftali Tzvi, what's going to be with him? Naftali Hirsch, they called, what's going to be with him? He's going to have to go to work, he's not going to stay in yeshiva, he can't learn. And then the Netziv cried and cried and cried, and the Baruch Shem Rachmanis, and he gave him a new ability to understand the Gemara. So then, after you read that part of the story, so the kid says, oh yes, I'm still fulfilling. Because I don't have the brain of the Netziv, and I don't have his ability to daven, because he was a big tzaddik, even though he might not have been a genius, but he was a big tzaddik, and he cried, and he cried, and cried, and I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. So I can't be an Adam Gadol. Because certainly, every Adam Gadol had gewaldige koyches hanefesh. Even if you could tell me that he wasn't a genius, say that, but koyches hanefesh, which I don't have. Just about everybody thinks this way. And therefore it's natural. So from the beginning, he doesn't set out on his journey through yeshiva to become one of the Gedolei Hador. So you know what? So what's so bad if I missed a morning of learning? No. If I would be the Netziv, if I'd be the Reb Chaim Brisker, if I'd be the Chassam Sofer, the Chavetz Chaim Leidev Yehuda, I wouldn't miss a morning. But for a guy like me, if I miss a morning, and if I'm not pushing myself to learn as well as I can, And if I'm not in the best chaver, or if my ben azmanim is getting bigger and bigger, and my time in yeshiva is small and small. Okay. Because anyway, he already gave up, a long time before he gave up on becoming an Adam Gadol, on becoming great. That already gave up. And this doesn't mean that this bacher doesn't have any aspirations to grow in Ruchnis. It doesn't mean that. He's a good boy. He's a good boy, and he wants to become stronger in learning. He wants to become a better Jew. He's a good boy. Av meirosh umarid me'atzmos ha'she'ifa umagbil ad heichan yuchel hagiyah. But from the beginning, he made up his mind that the she'ifa, the aspirations that he has, are limited aspirations. Meaning, he aspires to be someone that is conversant in the Gemara, let's say, someone that davens nicely, is an erlich yid. He's a nice boy. Would make a nice husband and a nice father. And that's what he wants. An erlich yid. And if it comes out that way, beautiful. But from the beginning, his wings were clipped. From the beginning. The aspirations were very, very, they were very humble. The aspirations were very limited. And he had in his mind a picture of where he can go. This is sometimes especially the case when you have siblings, let's say there are brothers in yeshiva. And the worst thing, I've mentioned this many times over the years, the worst thing you could ever do to a kid in yeshiva, like a boy comes into this class and the Rebbe says, what's your name? He says, Orenstein, Moshe Orenstein. Moshe Orenstein, you have a brother Zev? Kid goes, yeah. Zev Orenstein? It's your brother? How's he doing, Zev? He's doing very good. He's dying, as the Rebbe said. He's doing very good. You know, there's a big mess with your brother. And the Rebbe looks at him for an extra 2-3 seconds before he goes on to the next name to ask, Zev's brother. That's it. Inside of himself, since he's been in the world, he's Zev's brother. Zev's a tzaddik, Zev's a masma, Zev's this, Zev's that. And now, either he's going to be determined to outdo Zev, most of the time it's not the case, or he's determined to be the opposite of Zev, to be his own person, not to be Zev. It's a hard thing to begin with, to aspire for something great, but when you start and you're told at the beginning that there's someone who's always great, been greater than you, and will probably always be greater than you. And the cheshik is sucked out of the person, mamash. That's how it is. And even people don't mean it in a bad way. But that's just that's especially difficult in a situation where there are siblings, and you see differences between siblings. It's not so much a brother and a sister, it's not really nogeya so much. But between brothers and yeshiva, it's a hard inyan to be in. It's a very hard inyan to be in. Well, ze amar hamashgiach v'amar. So regarding this matzav, this situation of limited aspirations, from the beginning, not reaching for godless, not wanting godless, or giving up on godless. So Abchazkel said, zu ta'us. This is a terrible mistake. But we have to learn this very carefully now, because it applies to each and every one of us. It's not for you, just for yeshiva bachurim, it's everybody. So toast, this is a mistake. Kol yachid v'yachid, each and every one of us, each and every person, tzarech l'das, must know, shul yachal litzmarech l'ilana ravevi. That means that he can grow into a great tree. It's an expression meaning a great person. Each and every one of us, again, yeshiva bachur, whatever that is, greatness and learning, greatness and davening, great, whatever. And for a woman, each person could grow into a ilone ravivi, to somebody great. Echad migdolei hador. One of the great of the generation. Page Peidal. That's what Reb Chaskel said. Now, what does that mean? And what about the natural inclination on the part of a person to compare himself to the Gedolim and to say, oh, forget, I can never be like that. They're great people. They were great people to begin with. I can never be like that. I mean, there seems to be truth in that, to many of the things, at least, that we've seen, that we've heard, stories that we've read. This is such an important insight. The shtadl and asos levar kate said l'salik is estarklus amutoyis shemonas mehaodem es ha-she'ifa l'gadlus. We're going to now try to find a way to learn how to remove this mistaken notion, this obstruction that prevents a person from aspiring to greatness. We have to get this out of our lives. We have to remove this from our lives. This is a mistake. How is it a mistake? Daifin TV, it's natural. Kol echad mi'itanu, each and every one of us, kishu huraya adam gadol, when we see an adam gadol, al kol ma'alaysa v'muflos, with all of his great milas, this great person, v'nikach betor dugma is inyan hasmada. For example, the yeshiva bacher reads about an adam gadol, or he sees some great, great person, and he sees the hasmada, meaning he sees that person learning, doesn't stop learning. The hasmada is unbelievable. Ho'emel atzma, the bacher says to himself, ani b'shum oifen lo mesuga lumay kol kach harbi shos. I can't learn that many hours. I simply can't do that. I'm not capable of doing that. I'm coming into the yeshiva, he's still there. I leave the yeshiva, he's there. I forgot something in the yeshiva, come back at 12 o'clock at night, there he is. I can't do that. You know, I can't be like in the Masmida program, no matter how much prizes they give. I can't do that. I don't have the koiches that are needed for that. Zelo ani. It is not me. That's not me. That is the conclusion that 99% of the Chevre reach, probably from the first day or second day. That's not me. And you know what? He's absolutely right. The kid's right. He can't do that. And he's absolutely right that it's not him. It's not the him that he knows. And it's not with the Kaychas that he's familiar with. That's true. So there's nothing incorrect about that conclusion when he says, I can't do that, it's not me. The mistake that he's making is that person who's sitting in the corner of his medrash at 2 in the morning over his gemara is also not him. And he also doesn't have the kaychas to do that. That's a gift from the Borei Olam. It's a gift from the creator of the world. If you really want it, he gives it to you. It's not him either. That's the terrible mistake that we make. He explains. He can't even understand how could a human being live this way. Rabbi Yisrael, he never leaves the yeshiva, doesn't go out even ben hazman, and even when it's vacation, he's sitting and learning. How does he live like that? I can't live like that. Maybe I could be like that for a day, two, 3 days. I could be that way, to like sit like that for a couple of days. Maybe I could do that. But to live that way, I could be mechazing myself to go a couple of days that way, but to actually live my life that way, to live like that, just day and night over a sefer, that it should become a tzuras chayim, a way of life. It's like, you know, how all the tourists like to take walks up and down Meir Sharm. Meir Sharm is not the way it used to look either. But if you go into the back, it still pretty much resembles how it was years ago. So it's very sweet and charming to visit. And if you spend the Shabbos there, you say, that's so beautiful. I'm okay for Shabbos, but I could never live like this. I could never in my life live this way. Their whole life is around like a block. And it's all Yiddishkeit. It's not like they all the ladies get into the bus and they're going off to Saks Fifth Avenue for a week. You understand? This is it. This is your 80, 90 years. Period. That's it. Maybe it'll be a chasna b'nei brak for the big outing, you know? But that's pretty much it. That's it. So everybody thinks, wow, this is something. I could do this for a couple of days, you know. I could dress up like them for a couple of days. I could, like, hang out with them for a couple of days. But I can't live this way. There's no way for a human being to live. I don't know how a person can live like this. What kind of life is this? I admire it, but I can't possibly imagine living this way. And if someone says, wait till you see when Mashiach comes, we're all going to live like that. You know? Then you stop waiting for Mashiach, God forbid. Because you can't even imagine living such a way. How could you live such a way? There was a boy that the father brought me, this boy, it's not from over here, brought me to talk to, that the boy was texting on an average of a month over 10,000. I don't know if that means minutes or messages. I'm not sure it means 10,000. Means minutes? Messages. Either way, it's something that from this world, I know a person, it's just like that. 10,000, it's over 10,000. So, I was trying to understand, like, he does it on Shabbos too. Parents are from people. He goes to yeshiva. He can't stop himself. He does it on Friday night also. He has a friend. So I asked him. So I was talking to him. I said, I'm trying to understand the Indian of doing that. And he told me that he tried to stop. He can't. He can't stop. It's a strong thing. So I said, you know, well, I was talking to him. I said, well, it's going to be, you know, Mashiach comes. I don't know if it's going to be such an Indian. There'll be... So he said, I won't be able to live even when Mashiach comes. I said that it's not true. He says, when Mashiach comes, there are going to be so many wonderful things that are going to keep us busy and so many beautiful things that we're going to think about and be occupied with that you're not going to have time to spend 10,000 things on the machine. He can't be massive then. He says, no, I won't be able to be with Mashiach. Which wasn't the purpose of my talking to him, to think that he's not going to be with Mashiach. I said, no, well, you'll be with Mashiach. But it's not going to be interesting to you, such a thing. Or maybe a little bit. You want to send maybe there'll be such a thing at Shabbos, but not to have a whole life that revolves around standing with a little computer, a telephone, and going one day and night. Person can't imagine. My whole life is going to be what? Learning? Mikveh? Davening, learning. I can't do it. Give me like 2 days off a month, like to break out into. But I can't think of living this way. Yom avalai lo yishboisu, day and night it doesn't stop. Humargish shulam esugal lamadizer. From the beginning he feels this is not something I can do. It's absolutely not me. Humargish shulchayev menucha. He feels. I'm the kind of a person that I have to have time to rest. I can't drive myself that way. He needs some things that will give him some air to breathe. I just need some air to breathe. From the word avir. I need some air to breathe. I need to get out there. I can't live like that. He can't imagine that he could live a life where he's completely given over to Hashem. The same way when we're going through now, we've been going through two volumes of Bilvavim Mishkan Evanah, and it's still, can I actually live a life where throughout the course of the day, for my entire life till 120, I'm a person that thinks about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that wants to be closer to Him. It's not for me. It's a beautiful thing. I admire people who could do it. I can't see myself in that life. This is what most of the fellows in yeshiva, we're just talking in the context of the Mashgiach's talk, most of the fellows are thinking about from the beginning. On the Makar Omer Chazal, but this is the key to understanding this entire sugya of sheifas, of aspirations. On the Makar Omer Chazal, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom said said and says to each and every Jew. Bonai, pishuli Pesach, everybody knows this. Pishuli Pesach echad shel tshuva kechudas shamachet. If you make one little opening to do tshuva, to change, kechudas shamachet, like the eye of a needle. Vani pesach lechem pesachim kepishul shulam. I'm going to make big, big openings, like a big hall, an ulam, like a big, big place. Shiyu agolus akranius nachnasas bo, so big that you could bring wagons loaded with all kinds of merchandise. That's how big this place is. If you make an opening to eye of the needle, now we've said this Chazal, we've heard it in a million speeches, we've heard it in a million shiurim, but we never really understood what Chazal are telling us here. Gilu lano kan Chazal hakadoshim yisoid noira. Chazal have revealed to us here an yisoid noira, an incredible yisoid. Kisharon is suas chayv shel adam gadol. When you see the way that an adam gadol lives, that Masmid that's sitting in the corner day and night learning. A person who's a great person in Midas, a great person in Davening, a great Jew. When you see such a person, Sarach Ladas, you must realize, this is what I said a few minutes ago, Shebekoiches Enosh, E.F. Shaluchias Kach. You're absolutely right. Not only can't you live that way, he also couldn't live that way. That's not, a human being can't do such a thing, to turn himself off from everything else. And it's not, he also didn't have such kaiches. It's not, you're right, he has a luchis kach. Leirach, ani leyachal, Reuven v'shim leyachal. It's not just me and my buddies Reuven and Shimon that can't live this way. Gam gdol yisrael. Chavetz Chaim couldn't really be a Chavetz Chaim. Rav Moshe couldn't be a Rav Moshe. Baal Shem Tov couldn't be a Baal Shem Tov. Dari couldn't be an Ari. They couldn't. Suras chayim, eni mekaycha. The way that the tzaddikim, the gedolim, are living, it's not according to the kaychas that they have themselves. It's beyond anything that they themselves have. Hakoyach hayochid sheyesh l'adam gadol. So what is the kaych of an adam gadol? In other words, what's the godless of an adam gadol? How does somebody become an adam gadol and somebody else doesn't? If neither of them could really do it. Neither the person who became an Adam Gadol or the regular person, the regular kid, whatever it is, neither of them have the kaychis. So how did he take become an Adam Gadol? How did he become, and the other one didn't? HaKayach HaYachid Sheyesh L'Adam Gadol Hu Ma Shehevi Yis Atzim L'Pischer Shal Pesach Pischuli Pesach Kechud Shal Machet. The one who became an Adam Gadol is that he never let go of making that opening the eye of a needle. Or like the Kotzi used to say, it's the opening of the eye of a needle, but it has to be durach, it has to go through. In other words, to make an opening. It can't just be to dent the metal. You have to make an opening. The person who had become an Adam Gadol didn't let go of that opening. He dug and he drilled. He didn't let go. The she'if of greatness. Shabana l'atzma pesach amiti. He built a true opening. It was the size of a needle. A human being can't become Rav Moshe Feinstein. It can't be. He carved that opening, that tiny opening of what he could, and he didn't let go of it. U'mikoyach ha-pesach hazeh, and from the koyach of that little opening that he made, zoche l'kabel matnas shamayim niflo. He was zoiche, he earned a wondrous gift from Shemayim, which is what? Pischa shel ulam, the opening of a great hall, an expansion of his mind, of his heart, of his ability to be up at night, of his kaychis to daven and to do and to give and to be. Those are not human kaychis. Anybody that's ever studied the tzaddikim knows it doesn't have human kaychis. The whole godless of the Gadol was by that opening. This is something we have to think about, and take it to heart. Because we're also not finished yet with this world, Bez Hashem. We have many years with God's help, 120. We're not finished. To take it to heart. The whole chilik is that opening. That's it. What becomes of a person? That's a gift from the Bayar. It's all a question of how badly you want it. It's all a question of not giving up. Again, it doesn't mean, God forbid, to make oneself miserable or crazy. and to, you know, to measure yourself every minute with some tzaddik or whatever. That's not our avoid. The avoid is only with the koiches that you have to try and to want and to ask Hashem for that gift of becoming a great person, being a great friend, a great mother, a great child, a great brother, a great sister, a great Jew. That's all a person can do. Adam miyayish is atzmoy miyayish. The problem is, this is what B'chazkel was saying, that a person usually gives up from the beginning. Ma'asogis madregas gavos. I can never reach high madregas. Because he thinks those are his madregas that he has to reach. Because he thinks the Adam Gadol, those were his madregas that he reached. Those are his madregas. Kimistakal ala pischa shalulam. Because what does the person look at? The Bach looks at, he doesn't look at the opening of the needle. He looks at the big hall. He looks at that this Adam Gadol went through Shas 100 times and whatever it is. And or this masmit sits in the yeshiva straight for 3 weeks. Doesn't leave the bismed. That's all he's looking at. And he says to himself, and he's right, I can't do that. It's true. When a person understands that big hallway, that big thing, I feel a shagdoli Yisrael. It's not because the Adam Gadol was able to do that either. He didn't achieve that. The Adam Gadol, what he did achieve was the eye of a needle. He didn't let go of that. Elazuma and the Shemaim, as far as what he was able to reach, that's a gift from Hashem. Kulei Chesed, it's all God's kindness. Kulei Rachmim, Hashem's compassion and love. Kulei Hatov, it's the good of Hashem. Mabad Zem, Mekarv Aisel Shifa. When a person lives with this way of looking at, which is the true way of looking at life, he begins to have Shifas. He begins to aspire that he could become great. Because Sof Kol Sof, it's a gift from the Baruch Shalom. It's all Chanukah Geld. It's Chanukah. It's not something that I could on my own ever have. But the candle could be one candle, be'emes to be one candle, and then the Baruch Shem can make it last for 8 days. You understand? Your job is not to be for 8 days. Your job is to be be'emes for 1 day, but good, and shine, and do your best, and give everything you have, and cry out and daven the way that a candle is davening before it's about to go out. Please give me some more life. And then from one candle, you can become 8 candles. But that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A candle can't do that. There's only enough for one thing. A candle can't do that. But the Bari Olam can do that. And he gives it as a gift. As a gift. When a person thinks like that, then he can have she'ifas to become, to go vayta, to become, he doesn't know how, but to become great. He doesn't have to know how. And he should know that he can't. That's fine. On his own. He can't. But the truth is, if Hashem gives me that gift, if I'm Zaychahu Gam Yochel Chizkach, he'd also live this way. Adam Shalaman, the top of Pehe, let's just finish the sentence. Adam Shalaman, and Shayochel Lotse is Adam Gadol. A person who doesn't believe that he could become an Adam Gadol. Ain't there Mishum Shulaymak Yeris Kaychas Atzmai? It's not because he doesn't know his true Kaychas. They always say that. You don't know your true kaiches. Or they'll tell you, the parents, teachers, oh, your kid has these kaiches, these kaiches. That's not the reason he's not known God. There are a lot of people that know the kaiches they have and they don't become out. Nothing comes from them. Nothing great comes from them, even though they know their kaiches. And they've been hearing about their kaiches all their lives. Nothing much comes of them. It's not because a person doesn't know his kaiches. Although, of course, it's important. Ella hadova nodz b'nekudu shulay mamin shekadosh baruch hu machalik matanis. It's not because he doesn't know his kaiches. It's because he doesn't believe that God gives out Chanukah Geld for those who try. He doesn't believe that there are gifts from Shemayim. He doesn't believe that the Adam Gadol also couldn't be an Adam Gadol if not for the Rebbe Shalom giving him a kiss and giving him those kaiches. He doesn't believe that. He thinks that my godliness depends entirely on me. And I know that I'm not an Adam Gadol. I don't feel those kaiches of an Adam Gadol, so I can't be that way. Even if he wouldn't have this, he doesn't have this kaiches. He doesn't know his kaiches. But one thing he knows, what he knows is that the Baruch Shalom has told me to do one thing: to make the opening of Ivan Needle as much as I can, to try hard, and to daven to him, and then I could be zayich if I'm good, I could be zeichet to get a gift of something which is way beyond anything I myself could have accomplished. Like to be for 8 days, not one. Just to learn for 8 hours instead of 1 hour. Each and every one of us has unbelievable, unbelievable ability to reach that. And the word is not, you really have unbelievable kaiches. The person says, I don't. You do, I don't. That's a silly argument. You could say your packages. You don't have such great kaiches. You're mediocre. You're average. Let's face it, you're not a Rogachev, neither am I. Okay. The chief is. The Rogachev wasn't the Rogachev because he was the Rogachev. The Rogachev was the Rogachev because he wanted godless. And he did what he could to open the eye of the needle, and then the Bereshit gave him the Rogachev's mind. Even if you say that he was as a child, he was a genius. It doesn't. There are a lot of geniuses that come out to nothing. If you go through yearbooks in schools from little kids, and they tell you this kid's smart, this kid's the smartest kid, and then you follow it up and see what happened to them 80 years later, and what happened to the ones that were not such gedolim. And everything, panosa, marriage, and lav davka. The godless is not lefi, what the person has. It's lefi, what the person gets from Hashem. That's the greatness of a person, what God gives you. What God gives you, that's a person's greatness. So the bistaka garnish. You're garnished. But the Baruch Shem, if you'll be good, the Baruch Shem can give you. And you can become a big tzaddik. That's what it means to be humble. That's the avoid of humility. To ask Hashem, to try hard, to make the opening the eye of a needle, and to ask the Baruch Shem to give you the gifts of heart and mind and good skait and everything. That's what it means to have a shiva. And from that, the person taka has a shiva. Okay, we'll continue as a shiva.